to celebrate the greatest team sport known to man, where modern-day gladiators collide all for the glory of the gridiron. We'll talk some college football on Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle.
ESPN 960, we hope you're having a good Thursday. Darnell Dixon and Brandon Gurney sitting in for Ben Criddle, although he is over our shoulder in this giant poster behind us. He's never fully gone, but he will return next week. Tomorrow, I'm going to be co-host along with Bryce Larson.
Whoa.
That's the plan. That's what I was told. We'll see how that works. But today, it's Brandon and I. We're having a great day talking about BYU football, BYU scheduling, BYU roster. We even have some basketball coming up, so stay tuned for that. Right now, we're going to go out to the phone lines and bring in from the Oklahoman, Barry Trammell. Hi, Barry. What's up today?
How's things in Salt Lake City?
Well, it's cold, but it's kind of interesting. I was looking at, you know, generally February is a pretty slow month for college football over the years, but more and more it's become the go-to for the offseason. We've got the Big 12 schedule release. We've got a second signing day. I think people out here are pretty excited about the Big 12 and anything that brings them a little closer to it. They get even more excited. How are things out in your way as far as the Big 12 scheduling announcement?
Oh, everybody was looking forward to it. Now everybody's trying to figure out who got cheated and, you know, who got hit with a tough schedule, but it's impossible to know in the Big 12 because you never know from year to year anymore who's going to be good. So nobody can really claim that they got shorted in this thing. You're right about the excitement, though. 7 weeks from today, I'm sorry, 7 months from today is opening day, unless somebody moves the game to Thursday night, which I guess is possible. But, you know, it's going to be wild. We don't. So many unknowns in the Big 12 anymore. Is OU and Texas going to stay? Or who's going to be good? Now we got the four new schools. Three of the four had great years in 21. All of them had, I'd say, good, solid years in 22. And just, you know, who could win it? Nobody knows. And the schedule came out, and everybody's deciphering it and really not coming into any consensus, I would say.
Well, Barry, you were there when, you know, Nebraska leaves, Colorado and Missouri. You've seen West Virginia come in. Now you see BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF joining the conference with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. How has this conference been able to kind of maintain its status? Has it maintained its status? I mean, we know things change and we get used to that, but anytime there's conference realignment, it seems pretty seismic, not just for the schools going in and out, but for the conference itself. So what's the relative health of this conference right now?
Well, it's better than it has been. And I think the long-term future's solid, but the Big 12 status overall has dipped dramatically. Now, people won't believe me, but I promise you it's true. The SEC did not always dominate college football. They did not always run college football. As recently as the mid-2000s, 2003, 4, 5, 6, the Big 12 and, frankly, some of the other conferences as well could claim equal status with the SEC. Since then, we've had a slow decline in everybody else's status, elevation of the SEC, and the Big 12, because of realignment, took the biggest hit on that. And losing Nebraska and A&M, not so much Missouri and Colorado, but Nebraska and A&M really dented the conference. And West Virginia and TCU have been fine members and good additions. And, heck, Horned Frogs are one of the last two teams standing this year. So they've recovered nicely, but the status is not what it used to be. And, you know, can they get it back onto a level playing field with the Big Ten and the SEC? Maybe, but the economics are such that, you know, the television rights are so powerful with the SEC and the Big Ten that the other three conferences will always be playing from behind. But still, it's good football. and you know, great teams can emerge. So I think it's going to be a fun conference. It's a good conference, and somebody like Brigham Young, it's sort of a blank landscape. Just whatever the Cougars want to make of it is sort of theirs for the asking, because the ceiling is gone. This is a sport that keeps its foot on schools and programs for decade after decade. And the Big 12 did that for a lot of years with Oklahoma dominating. And that's not the case anymore. The last 3 years, we've had six different schools in the conference title game. And the last 2 years, the Big 12 title game has matched teams that were predicted, let's see, fifth and seventh and fourth and sixth in the preseason poll. So it's there for the taking. You'll have to learn a little bit about some of our history. I'm actually a history major and know all about Utah and the Mormon War and all that stuff. Most people out here don't know much about it. I don't expect you guys to know much about Oklahoma history, but we had these things called land runs where they just opened up, you know, hundreds of miles of free land to anybody that could go and claim it. And that's sort of what we've got in Big 12 football, particularly after Oklahoma and Texas leave. It's there for the taking, and almost every program can make a case to have a fighting chance to be a mover and a shaker in Big 12 football.
Barry, I was reading some of your thoughts on the scheduling, and one of the things that came up was the non-Saturday games. There are more this year in the Big 12, according to the schedule that we just looked at. And BYU, over the course of the last 11 or 12 years, has played a lot of those games with being able to kind of roll with the punches, and their relationship with ESPN being willing to play those games. But from what I've seen, most of the Big 12 teams prefer that Saturday afternoon game.
Yeah, or Saturday night.
Right.
People kick and scream over the Thursday or Friday games. Oklahoma and Texas refuse to play them. Texas has played some Thanksgiving Friday games. Oklahoma hadn't done that since the Nebraska glory days of the 80s. But we're seeing more and more of it. And this year we've got an Oklahoma TCU on a Friday night. On Thanksgiving Friday. We've got Oklahoma State, Kansas State on a Friday. We've got West Virginia's playing somebody. They're playing Houston on a Thursday, I think. BYU is playing Cincinnati on that Friday, which I think is the general conference weekend.
That's right, yeah.
So the Cougars, you know, I actually talked to Tom Homo last night, and he gave me a little insight, which you guys would know all about, and your listeners would. I don't claim to be an expert, but actually that works out very well for BYU. So I think you'll see more and more of that, because it gives the league a chance to spotlight the conference in apart from the morass of Saturday, where you could have three or four marquee games in every television time window. So those Thursday and Friday games will help out. The one thing I would like to have seen, I suggested this to, I wrote about it, and then I suggested it to the new commissioner. I think the Big 12 launch is rather pathetic. Those first 3 weeks, we got a few games that are pretty good, but the majority of the games are easy to miss. I mean, BYU knows that well, and I know they had to piece together a schedule, but they opened with Sam Houston and Southern Utah. Oklahoma State's opening with Central Arkansas. Texas opens with Rice. Tech's playing Wyoming. Just not good games. I thought we could put together a schedule where on opening week you could have the four newcomers play conference games against longtime Big 12 members, and maybe even play like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Labor Day night, a stretch of games. And really, celebrate the conference and kick it off. And you'd have to juggle some non-conference games. But Brett Yormark liked the idea, but he didn't really, it's hard to get people to mess with their schedules. Coaches are the biggest impediment to it. So that's my biggest gripe with the schedule. We're all talking about the conference schedule, but that non-conference schedule is just not very good for the Big 12.
Last week on the show, right after the schedule was released, we put a poll question to the listeners, which game fans are most excited to see, and Oklahoma won by quite a large margin. Fans are really excited for the Sooners to come to Provo just because of the brand and whatnot. But it seems like last year a lot of luster came off that brand, and it's some pretty shocking results for Oklahoma. What kind of team can be what you fans expect, and how shocking were the results last year? Just what's going on with the Sooners?
Well, a couple things. One is the two games in particular were very, very hard to swallow for Sooner Nation. They went to TCU and got rolled 55-24. Quarterback Dylan Gabriel got a concussion midway through the second quarter. Now, it was 34-10 when he got hurt. So it was not going well, and it was not going to go well. But that caused him to miss the next week's game against Texas, and they got beat 49-0. The backup quarterback situation was just a disaster. And Brent Venables struggled, just to be honest with you, in his first year coaching the Sooners. That did not go well. But then OU sort of stabilized, and down the stretch, what they ended up doing was just losing a bunch of close games. They lost 5 one-possession games and didn't win any. So if it got close, the Sooners lost. The year before, Oklahoma went 6-1, I think it was, in one-possession games. Those things even out over time. So OU really wasn't a 6-7 team. They were more like an 8-4 team last year, which is still not up to OU standards. They played much better in the bowl game against Florida State. Florida State had virtually its whole team. OU was missing a bunch of guys, and the Sooners played them really tough. So there's a lot of encouragement there. I don't think OU is going to be up to its historic Lincoln Riley level, but they're going to be better than they were a year ago. I don't think there's any doubt. They've got a good quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. If he stays healthy, they're going to be fine on offense, and we'll see about the defense. But I would expect that OU comes to Provo. That's the week before Thanksgiving, I think. Yeah. I bet OU goes to Provo with at least a chance of making it to Arlington for the title game. Heck, who knows? Maybe Brigham Young's in the same boat. It could be a showdown game. I don't think you're going to see vintage Oklahoma, but I also don't think you're going to see sort of the disaster that you saw this past season.
Yeah, November 18th, BYU hosts Oklahoma and then finishes the Big 12 schedule in Stillwater against Oklahoma State on Thanksgiving weekend. That'll be big for BYU to finish strong. Barry, we appreciate your time. Always good to talk to you. Now that we're Big 12 compadres, it's even better. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Hey, thanks a lot. Good luck to the Cougs.
Thanks. Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman. Been there, done that. That's why I asked him about kind of how the Big 12 has sort of evolved, and him bringing up that, yeah, at one point the Big 12 was the bomb, and they were competing with the SEC. And I think that one of the things that's changed over the years is the SEC just started sinking more and more and more and more money into their programs to the point where, you know, what are you going to do to compete with that? It makes it crazy.
Yeah, it's insane just how the SEC is separated itself. I was kind of encouraged by the Big Ten having the two teams in the college football playoff, the SEC just with one team. That hasn't happened very often. But then Georgia kind of slammed out on everyone's like, really? This is the last team standing? I mean, that championship game was so terrible.
That was bad. Yeah.
It was really hard for me to believe that was the result. But yeah. I'm excited, and I'm kind of bummed that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. It'd be great, but BYU probably wouldn't be in the spot it's in right now if Texas and Oklahoma weren't leaving.
Yeah, so BYU fans will take it anyway. All right, coming up next on the program, Cougar Insider Report. That is Brandon Gurney and Darnell Dixon. We're both here, and we're going to stay here until the end of the show. We promised Ben we wouldn't leave too early, so he'll be happy. ESPN 960, we'll come back after this.